Well, thank you for joining us this Christmas, especially as we just consider the names for Jesus. It's been woven throughout this whole service so far, and that is these beautiful names for Jesus. And as you've just heard, we've been going through Isaiah 9:6 in the last few weeks. And I'd like to suggest that I think the names in Isaiah 9:6 are compounding names. What do I mean by that? They build on one another. So the first name we considered was Wonderful Counselor. And this is the idea that God knows everything. That he is the smartest person, not in the room, but the whole universe. That I am not God, I am not the smartest person, he is. Wonderful Counselor. Then we considered Mighty God. He's not only omniscient in all his knowledge, he's omnipotent or all-powerful. Which I'm not. And which you are not. But when you bring his omniscience, his all-knowing, together with his omnipotence, his power, if that wasn't compounding in the form of Jesus, who's called by Isaiah Everlasting Father, what that means is he leverages his knowledge and his power for his Father's glory and for our good, and whatever is for his Father's glory is our good, and our good brings his Father glory. He's great in his knowledge, great in his power, he's good in his love. And then we come to this fourth name that we want to consider this morning, and that's Prince of Peace. When you bring that great power and that great knowledge together with a really good love, the product in our lives should be peace. Do we have it this Christmas? I think peace is one of the most sought after things. I know, honestly, in preparation for this sermon, I was sitting there thinking, you know, if there was anything I could have, something enduring that I could have, if there's something that the people around me would want me to have, I think it would be peace. I long for it. I want it. But I want you to have a look at this title. He shall be called Prince of Peace, Eternal Calm this Christmas. I want to take you on a brief journey this morning. And the destination of that journey is eternal calm this Christmas. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we pause and we want to center our hearts and our minds, our souls and our spirit on your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm aware that my words are powerless, that my knowledge is so limited. And so, Lord, I invite your Spirit to open our eyes to the beauty of your Son, Jesus Christ the Lord, the Prince of Peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start by introducing you to a German backpacker by the name of Gunther. Gunther, the German backpacker. Now, my family literally bumped into Gunther in Malaysia in 1998. At that time, we moved from Australia to Malaysia. Bit of a shout out to my son, Aidan. He was born in this little town called Taiping. This small town between Ipoh and Penang by the name of Taiping. Now, Taiping in Mandarin is made up of two characters. The first character means great, and the second character means peace. The first character can also be known as everlasting, and the second character as peace. So Taiping was literally named a place of great everlasting peace. Well, the interesting thing is, Gunther, as a young backpacker, he left Germany and he was on a quest. He was going through Asia and his quest was to find peace. He was missing peace and he wanted to find it. And it took him all through Southeast Asia. In fact, before he came to Malaysia, he had lived in India. And in India, he had studied with yogis and all the, and he was trying transcendental meditation. He was trying all this stuff to try and find peace, but he couldn't find it. And somehow in his journeys, this is pre-internet, he learned of this place in Malaysia called Taiping, a place of great everlasting peace. And he thought, I'm going to go there to find peace. Well, we lived on the grounds of Taiping Gospel Hall, and every Wednesday night we would have a prayer meeting. And this particular Wednesday night, I didn't go. My children were young. I think I might have been training that week. I was doing some preparation, but Donna went along to the prayer meeting. Sure enough, Gunther walked into the prayer meeting, the only other European in the room. And of course, at the end of the prayer meeting, Donna introduces herself and she says to him, Gunther, why are you here? And he says to her, Taiping means peace. I've come to find peace. And then Donna said to her, well, then I think I need to introduce you to my husband because he would love to show you how to find peace. Now, what I want to do now is just share Gunther's journey. And his journey basically had three parts: missing peace, finding peace, enjoying peace. Missing peace, finding peace, and enjoying peace. So as we consider this, first of all, the journey always starts with this sense of missing peace. And the interesting thing is, at that time, Gunther knew he was missing something, but he couldn't actually clarify. He didn't have great clarity about what he was missing. He just knew something was missing. And in fact, in order to understand what he's missing, we need to understand what peace is. And part of Gunther's problem, and it's my problem, and it's many people's problem, is he didn't have great clarity about what peace actually is. See, peace is thought of by many people as simply the absence of something, like fighting or hardship. War and peace are opposites, they think. And if you don't have war, you have peace. But this is not the case. We all know that, right? We're in a country, usually, unless there's exceptional circumstances, is at peace. And yet there's often an inner turmoil. And so peace isn't so much the absence of something, and this is where we need to really get a clear understanding of peace. In the Bible, peace is not the absence of something, but rather the presence of something. In other words, when this presence is there, peace is a byproduct. In the Bible, peace is not the absence of something, but rather the presence of something. The Hebrew word shalom, which is the word that's actually used in Isaiah 9:6. Interestingly enough, in Isaiah 9:6, it says Prince of Peace. It's actually shalom, shalom. It's a repetition of the word shalom. And what it's basically meaning is this here. The Hebrew word shalom means peace, means the presence of wholeness, completeness, and fullness, life as God intends it to be. Wholeness, completeness, fullness, life as God intends it to be. Shalom is the state where everything is in its right place, rightly related to God as Lord and Savior, and correctly aligned with God's design and will. Perhaps a simple way for me to explain this and for it to be understood is I want you to think of a puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle. In fact, when we were in Indonesia, and I'll tell you more about Indonesia, we moved from Malaysia, we moved to Indonesia, another Muslim nation, and Donna's really good at making events special. And in Indonesia, she was really good at making Christmas special, and she'd do these little touches, and she would have Christmas traditions. One of our traditions was a 1,000-piece puzzle that would sit on the dining room table, and in the lead-up to Christmas, everyone would sit down and you would solve this puzzle together. And in a way, and of course, as we drew near to Christmas Day, the puzzle had to be finished. And so there would be heightened intensity and a little bit of a frenzy of trying to get this puzzle finished. But as a family, there was a great sense of relief and peace when the final piece was put in that puzzle. And that's what peace is. That's what shalom is. That's wholeness, completeness, fullness. Everything in its right place, rightly aligned with each other, and ultimately with God. And so what we see here is Gunther misunderstood something. He thought peace was a place. I remember when I first met him, he came across, Donna brought him across to our little house after prayer meeting, and he introduced me, and I can remember saying to Gunther, "Gunther, I'm so happy that you are wanting to find peace, but the first thing you need to understand is peace cannot be found in a place. Cannot even be found in a church. Peace also cannot be found in your power to overcome the problems in your life, whether it's Buddhism, Taoism, Hinduism, Islam, whatever it is. Peace cannot be found in a place or in power. Peace is found in a person." And so what we see here in the Bible, peace is not the absence of something, but rather the presence of someone. And so what we learn here, if you're missing peace, what we've got to realize, peace is from God. Peace is from God. But in order to have peace from God, first you need to have peace with God. That comes through Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So in that journey with Gunther, I said to him, "Gunther, would you like to meet? Because what you need to understand, peace is from God. It's a person. But in order to receive peace from God, you need peace with God. Would you like to go on a journey to find how you can have peace with God?" And thankfully, the Holy Spirit was at work in his life. And he said, "Andrew, I'd love to go on that journey." So what we did the second stage is we went on a journey of finding peace and finding out that peace is found in the person of Jesus. So what it meant was taking Gunther back to creation. That's where peace was instituted on earth among men. Peace existed for all eternity past between God, Father, Son, and Spirit. It's not like peace was created. Peace between the Godhead and, of course, the Prince of Peace is eternal. But what happened in creation is God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they created the earth and they created a place of shalom. It was woven into creation. Humanity was in harmony with God, themselves, and one another, flourishing restfully in the world. I love that idea of flourishing yet restful. Now, Adam and Eve at that time, they didn't realize, sadly, that everything, including peace, hinged on one piece. I can remember that puzzle that we had in Indonesia. I wanted to do an illustration in church in Indonesia, and I took the puzzle along, and some of the kids grabbed the box and the lid flew off and we lost pieces. And there wasn't much peace for me. No. And what it meant was something was fractured there, and that puzzle could never be whole or never be complete. What Adam and Eve didn't realize is the critical piece is God himself. And when he put them in that garden, he gave them a choice. He gave them a choice to be aligned, to be complete and full and whole in him, or to choose to reject him, to turn away from him, our God of peace. And we know the story. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did. They were deceived. They came to this thought that God was not the critical piece. They came to the thought that they were the critical piece, that running their own lives was a critical piece. And what happened in that moment is peace was fractured. This idea of where we say to God, "I don't need you, I can do it myself," the Bible would call that sin. That's going our own way. As we heard the kids on Sunday, there's so much wisdom. Even in that video, there was so much wisdom. What is sin? It's the bad things that we do, the good things that we don't do, and ultimately it's us saying, "God, I will choose my definition of good and bad." It's going your own way. And what happened there, when they did that, sin splintered every relationship, turning harmony into hostility and wholeness into brokenness. Suddenly, they're hiding from God. Suddenly, they're blaming one another. When God comes in and says, "Adam, where are you?" And he says, "Adam," something along the lines of what's happened. Adam says, "The woman you gave me." Rather than owning and saying, I'm responsible, he blame shifts. And then Eve says, the serpent. And so they're hiding from God, blaming one another, but there's another thing happening in that garden. They are trying to cover themselves. They're trying to get peace back in their own power, following their own plan. And it didn't work. Now, how sad would it be if the story ended there? But it doesn't. See, in Genesis chapter 3, what God promises is that there would be a seed of a woman. He's looking through the corridor of time and he's seeing his son. What he's saying is, I will send the seed of a woman. And what it says there is, in that passage says, and he will crush the head of the serpent. He will crush sin. He will crush hostility. He will crush all that. But in the process, what it says is, and his heel will be bruised. He will suffer. In order to bring peace, he will need to suffer. See, what we have here, peace was instituted by God, fractured by man. But right there in the garden, we have this promise, and it runs all the way through the Old Testament, right through to Isaiah chapter 9, what we've been looking at 700 years before Jesus. Here we have this prophecy that Jesus would come and he would be called Prince of Peace, whose coming would heal the broken world and make things whole again. Now, if you're new to following Jesus and trusting him, this would be my encouragement to you. Just get a Bible, start in one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and just look at Jesus. Because when you see Jesus walk, what you are seeing is you are seeing completeness, wholeness in flesh. He lived as the Prince of Peace. He lived fully aligned with his Father and aligned with others. You are seeing the Prince of Peace. And what we see here is this. But as you continue reading, what you will realize is this. He who lived fully aligned, complete and abundant, he did something for us. And this is where we understand that peace had to be purchased. Peace won at an infinite cost, the Prince of Peace shedding his blood to redeem sinners, reconcile rebels, and restore creation. See, I'm going to read a verse, and I'm just picking out some verses in Isaiah because this theme of peace is explained by Isaiah so well. And in Isaiah 53, verse 5, this is also written hundreds of years before Jesus' death. This is what Isaiah writes. But he was pierced for our transgressions, for our sin. He was crushed for our iniquities, for our rebellion. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. What was happening there? Right back when peace was fractured, what happened? The consequence of that was that man was separated from God and the relationship was fractured. And what's happening here, what Isaiah is prophesying is that God would send his son would live the life we couldn't live. And what he'd do, because he's so great, he can conquer sin. Because he's so good, he's willing to die. And what he does, he was born to do something that couldn't be done in heaven. He took on humanity. He put flesh on because God as spirit cannot die. He comes at Christmas times, puts on humanity so that he can do one thing that cannot happen in heaven, and that is to die for the sins. So he lives the perfect life that you and I couldn't live, and he says, I will die. I will take their punishment on me, and I will pay it fully, and through my wounds, through my death, I will heal them and offer them peace. That is what Christmas is all about. And that is why Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. No one else will ever live up to this title. And so what I want you to understand is the peace we long for is the peace he came for. The peace we lost is the peace he offers. So after running through that story with Gunther, I explained this to Gunther. Peace from God is part of the gift of salvation that is received when we obtain peace with God through trusting in the Prince of Peace. I can remember the afternoon very distinctly now. There was a little place, if anyone's familiar, it was the best place in Taiping that sold popia. And in the afternoon we're there and we'd gone through this journey. He had been missing peace and he could see that he could find peace in Jesus. And I said to Gunther this afternoon, I said, Gunther, what I'd love you to do is to go home and just have a moment with God. Because the peace you long for, Jesus didn't only come for, he died for it. And he's offering it to you. But like every gift, that gift will not become yours until you receive it. God will not force himself on you. But he loves you so much, he died for you. Gunther went home that afternoon. This is before mobile phones. He reflected. The Holy Spirit brought him to a realization that he couldn't save himself, that if he didn't trust in Jesus, he would be missing peace for all eternity. And that afternoon, just in a quiet moment, he just said to God, God, I'm helpless and I'm powerless. Forgive me for my rebelliousness. I'm trusting in Jesus. He's my only hope. And later on that afternoon, I got a phone call from Gunther with the good news that he'd finally found peace. Peace from God is part of the gift of salvation that is received when we obtain peace with God through trusting in the Prince of Peace, which in turn opens the way to enjoy the peace of God. See, there's this interesting thing. There's finding peace, but this is what Jesus offers. The Prince of Peace doesn't just bring peace, he becomes our peace. And so this comes to the last section, which is enjoying peace. You know how you can have something and you don't necessarily enjoy it? That can happen with the peace of God. Peace is found in the presence of Christ. Just have a look at this. Peace itself is fundamentally an attribute of God's character. He literally is peace. Because God controls everything perfectly according to his will, remains omniscient and thus never surprised, and faces no threats to his omnipotence, he exists in a state of perfect calm and contentment. He is peace. His divine peace is offered as a gracious gift to those who believe in Christ and understand it cannot be attained through human effort, but is the byproduct of practicing the presence of Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. What does that mean? Well, what I want to do now is I want to flash forward about 9 years. My family moves from Malaysia. And we go to Indonesia. And when we go to Indonesia, we're involved in a church planting work, and there's these 10 little churches, little gatherings that were, all of them, most of them, were in villages where initially there had been no follower of Jesus, a fully Muslim village. And in that process, we had the privilege, and we were together with some American missionaries and some German missionaries, a Malaysian missionary, and a whole lot of Indonesians. We had the privilege of seeing people come and find the peace, the Prince of Peace, in these little Muslim villages. Well, in the process, the pioneer missionary, who, when he was around, I felt things were going to be okay, he got really sick. And as he was leaving to go home, I was hoping he would be coming back, he wrote down a last will and testament. And part of that, he said to me, Andrew, look after the ministry. I was in my 30s at this time. Now, this weighed on me because at that time, he goes home. At that time, what happened is the key church planner, the Indonesian church planner that we're working with, we actually stumbled across that he'd been misappropriating funds, been stealing, and he had to be confronted. He was the key. He was the connection with the other church planners. He himself was greatly used by God to plant 3 of these churches. He was a local, highly influential. And as I confronted him and pleaded with him to just acknowledge before God what had happened, publicly say he's responsible, and then there wasn't any promises, but he refused. At this time, I was hoping for the missionary to come back. He was getting even sicker. He wasn't coming back. I could see this church planner working, and suddenly there was this very real potential that the ministry would explode and that a whole lot of the church planners in these churches would be lost. I'm in my 30s. It's not difficult to be more intelligent than me, but this guy was far more intelligent with me, and almost any move that I made, he outsmarted me. Felt like I was playing chess, and he owned me. And he had so much power and influence. A lot of the guys that were church planners, he led to the Lord. So I got to this point where I could see that my plan wasn't working. I didn't have enough power to be able to hold things together. And it brought me into a period of deep anxiety. I remember one day in the training center, we'd just done training, I just finished, and he hadn't been present. But at the end of it, I went back into the bedroom where I was staying, and I was sort of packing my things, and I heard him come into the training center. I heard his voice, and it's interesting, something happened to me that up until that point had never happened again. I actually froze, and I literally could not go out of that room. I don't know whether it was a panic attack or not, but I was immobilized. And this was a real fear of man. It was a real fear of what would happen. And I can remember after he left, I went home and I sort of was saying to myself, I can't keep living this way. See, there was peace from God and I had peace with God, but I wasn't experiencing the peace of God. Does that happen to you as well? See, this is what we need to understand. Importantly, perfect peace and continual calm are not universal among believers. Repentance and reconciliation with God through Christ are essential preliminary conditions, yet many Christians fail to attain continual calm because they have not learned to fix their minds on God, their faith remaining imperfect and intermittent. Those who have matured spiritually and steadily pursued the presence of Christ, who's the Prince of Peace, possess a tranquility of soul that remains undisturbed and even triumphant despite adverse circumstances. That's a peace of God that through the Prince of Peace is available. But how does it work? We've got to shift our place of salvation for peace. Rather than my plan, rather than my power, rather than me overcoming problems, I need to shift my whole place of trust and hope into the Prince of Peace. And so this is what I want you to understand. Isaiah not only says that peace has been purchased, Isaiah also says that peace of God has been gifted. God-given calm that stormy circumstances cannot steal when believers keep their minds stayed on the Prince of Peace. This is what Isaiah 26 verse 3 says. And if you would love eternal calm this Christmas, just think of these two verses, Isaiah 53 verse 5 and Isaiah 26 verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Just answer this question. Who does he keep in perfect peace? There's conditions here. He or whoever's mind is stayed on you. It's just focused on Christ because he trusts in you. It's not only contemplating Christ, it's confidently contemplating Christ. What this is saying is eternal calm comes from a continual, confident contemplation of Christ. I can remember in that moment that as I was reading my Bible, I started writing down promises of God. And it went from one A4 page to two A4 pages to three A4 pages. And when I would find myself becoming overcome, where I'd lost the peace of God, all I could do would be to sit down with those promises and I'd read them until my heart quietened and it helped me to contemplate confidently on Christ, the Prince of Peace. Now, I'd love to say to you that I've never had any problems with this since then. The truth of the matter is this is a constant challenge for me. Any of you who knows, you know I feel at peace when things are in control, and when things are out of control, I lose peace. And so what I'm having to do recently and first thing in the morning is I'll just sit there, and I'll sit with God, and I'll go through the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, and that's where I just think of Jesus and the Father and just say, You are really, really good. You've done everything for me, and just sit in His presence. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. That's where we come in and His greatness. And just sit there and go, You are great. You are not just good, which is proven by Your Son dying on the cross of me. You are great, which is proven through His resurrection. Hallowed be Your name. And then it's this, Your kingdom come. Lord, help me today to live in an awareness that the Prince of Peace is not distant and absent. He is with me. And let me live in His presence. And then this is a little thing I say to my mind. I say it, try to do it most days. Big troubles, small God. Big God, small troubles. And it's like, Lord, as I go into the day, there will be troubles that I don't have the power, I don't have the plan, I don't know how to get out of them. Help me to not lose my peace. Help me to just go in contemplating confidently Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. And what I'm finding is, it's not yet eternal calm. But it's not just occasional. And it's not just temporal. And I want more of that this Christmas. And I think there's others in the room that want more of it. See, what I want you to understand is, Isaiah said, His name shall be called Prince of Peace. Eternal calm this Christmas is there for all of us. And what we need to understand is that through Jesus, we can find peace from God, receive peace with God, and enjoy the peace of God. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't finish by updating you about Gunther. Shortly after Gunther trusted in Jesus, he found what he'd been looking for. He said to me, Andrew, I'm going home. I'm going to tell my family and friends about Jesus. And in the middle of the night, he hopped on a train, and I haven't seen or heard from Gunther since. But here's the good news. Jesus instituted peace. We fractured it. God promised it. He purchased it. And now He's gifted it. But I want you to understand something. If I don't meet up with Gunther again on this earth, I will meet him. And that'll be when Jesus returns and He establishes His kingdom and everything is right. And I'll be able to say to Gunther, look, He's completed it. He purchased it. He offered it. It's gifted. And now it's completed. That's why He's called the Prince of Peace. I'm going to pray and then the team's going to come up and we're going to finish with this song. Dear Heavenly Father, where would we be without Jesus, our wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace? And my prayer, Lord, for everyone in this room, if anyone's come in and they've never trusted in Jesus and they're missing, there's a missing piece in their life, my prayer would be that Your Holy Spirit today would just reveal that Jesus is the missing piece and that they would come to Him and that they would trust in Him. For many in the room who have been trusting and following Jesus for a long time, my prayer, Lord, is that our peace, the peace of God, would not just be occasional when we're in a nice place or when our plans are working, but despite where we are, that it will not just be temporal, but it will become more and more eternal. A growing awareness that we would be a place of peace because we are pointing ourselves and others to the Prince of Peace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.